We're holding here in the Rebbeinu Bechaya on page 577, Churban Beis Hamikdash Nemar Pasuk Elul Pekudei. So he's speaking over here about the Pasuk of Elul Pekudei HaMishkan. Why don't we have a medrash? Elul Pekudei HaMishkan HaMishkan. The word Mishkan is repeated twice in the sentence. Lama Mishkan Mishkan Shnei Pamim. Lefi Shebeis Hamikdash Osed Lehis Mashkan Shnei Pamim. By Yisrael Mashkan Shnei Shnemar Chavol Chaval Melach Ad Kad. So it's Meramez that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed twice, and this is sort of seen as a retribution for what you did wrong. Vim taskel b'milas ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-idus, timtze b'meramez l'mispa shonshon v'yisish v'yisish sheni. If you work out the gematria, you'll figure out, you'll see the years that v'yisish stood v'yisish sheni. V'chei mi'itzias v'sayan shabon v'samas ha-bayis. How? Kamishkan b'misporo im ha'isis romas l'bayis sheni. V'chei mishkan b'misporo romas l'bayis rishon. So mishkan ha-mishkan, the second bayis stood 2 years more, so the hay is extra. The word mishkan itself is, it's 400 and 10, and ha-mishkan is 420. So you have in the gematria bit, the remez, how long was there? V'chein ha'edus chosavav. V'cheshboinoi dalet meyes v'shmoinim shana v'shatzim v'shayim v'shabon v'shayim v'shabayis. So when you add it up together, it's 480 years till you built the bayis. U'mashayech se'ech na'chesh l'fish v'shon ha'shen se'ch ne'a mishkan v'chol eira cheshboinus ro'o yisom moish v'ruch ha'kodesh v'zeh eilu v'chudi ha'mishkan mishkan edus. So it's very interesting. So this is one of those remazim, and one could have understood, I mean, these were Hashem's words. So Moshe Rabbeinu could have been totally oblivious to it. And someday we would come along, or we have Mesoris or whatever it is, and we would say, hey, guess what? Mishkan's gematria this, HaMishkan's gematria this, and so on. And Rechaya says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw it with Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, he was a Shliach Neman, which means that he was faithful and he said exactly what he was told. On the other hand, he understood everything. So how do we understand the two parts of it? Let's give an example. If I want to have an accurate transcription of somebody's words, or an accurate record of somebody's words, a totally unthinking recorder would do the best job. So I just record, the recorder has no input, and I give it. On the other hand, if I want to hear commentary on it, or sort of picking up all sorts of nuances and hints and allusions, I would want to have a very, very intelligent listener who's going to give me over, not memory verbatim, but give me a take on it. So how do we reconcile the two by Moshe Rabbeinu? So the answer is, just like Torah Shebaal Peh was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu had to give us, physically and sort of mystically, the whole Torah. So the physical words were the words written in Torah, that were given as accurate as is possible, the exact words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By him understanding the deeper meaning of the words, that became the transmission of the Mesoris to us. I don't know if it was active, passive, but the fact that his take on it was perfect in terms of understanding all the nuances and so on, that came over to us. I can add sort of a muscle. I don't mean it exactly the same way, but let's go back to our muscle of somebody giving over the speech. Imagine, let's get rid of the recorder and let's have people. If one person understands very little, but he's got this perfect memory, like very photographic memory, and he gives over the word that I said. So that's good. He's good for the words. But only somebody who caught the nuances can give over, like, you know, sort of wink at a piece that he felt the guy was saying tongue-in-cheek. He can sort of emphasize a piece that he felt the person was saying for some reason. To be able to give over faithfully the nuances, you need to get them. So that's talking about a simple way, but in a deeper way, the Moshe Rabbeinu had to be privy to the nuances in Ruach HaKodesh in order for him to be able to be mamshech. Okay, the next piece is a Svarno, and he says something very surprising, because we're used to the Beis HaMikdash being much more important than the Mishkan. The Mishkan was kind of a temporary travel version of Beis HaMikdash, and as everybody knows, the travel versions are much less complete and much less sophisticated than the permanent version. It's obvious. And yet there's a mile in the Mishkan over the Mikdash. Elav kud ha-Mishkan. Kol echad mechalki ha-Mishkan ha-tsuvu l'malo ha-im oysum ha-pkudim shenem aleyem ובשם הסטיפקוס כלי משמרס, מסום ביאלי סומה. וזה, כי כל אחד מהם הוא רוילס נחשב לקר בשם, באשר הוא זה הפרטי. לא בלבד באשר הוא מזה המין. As each and every one of them was worthy of being singled out by name, not just by virtue of the fact he's a lady. וכל שכן שצדק זה על כל אחד מכלי הקודש, אז זה קוס. זה דני קוס, who had that job. So that's the פשוט, ובשם הסטיפקוס כלי משמרס, the people that were in charge of it were people that weren't only they belonged to Shevet Levi, but each and every one of them had chshivas. Lazeli nifsedu. Ka'amram zal. Shematoyma avat sivram bata sikuyam. Tamloyma atzi shitim oimdim. Sh'oimdim la'adal me'lamim. So, because the people who carried the Mishkan or were in charge of the Mishkan were people that were very chashiv, the Mishkan did not become bottled. V'gam kein lo nochol dovel em b'yad ha'oivim. And none of it fell to the enemies. Al hefech mach kar l'mikdash shleim v'kelo k'vur b'chorm v'yis rishin al yedei nebuetzer adon sh'liska sh'sham dovel m'yad ha'mishkan Moshe Rabbeinu al-Sham. So all the kelim that fell to the enemies were the kelim that were Beis HaMikdash, not the Mishkan. Mishkan never fell to Mishkan Aedus. Sipa Milus a Mishkan, he's in fact giving over the Milus of the Mishkan. Shebeshvilam haya royalist nitzchiv shepayav. Now he's explaining why is it. So we've just said that the Mishkan is something that, well, even if it's smaller and less glamorous than some Mikdash, but it's eternal. It never felt enemies, never was vanquished. Why? Rishayna, shahoya Mishkan ha'edus, shebeluchas ha'edus. One, it had luchos, which is strange because the luchos were in the Mishkan as well. Beis asher pukar al pi Moshe, gimel shoyis avedas halavim b'yad Yisrael. Ki amna mishmeret kol chalke Mishkan b'yad Yisrael hoysa. Dalet, v'tzal ben Uri ben Chur lemat Yehuda asa, shehoyu rashi umnei melech ha-Mishkan v'keilo, yuchas adik shebedar. U'bechein shoros ha-shchin ma'asdeim lov v'alavim. So being that the Mishkan was made by people of very big tzaddikim, they never ever it didn't fall into the enemy's hands. Aval Mikdash Shleima, shayu oivdei ha-melacha boi mitzur, he had goyim from Tzur. Afal pi she'shasa bei Shechina, even though the Shechina dwelled in it, it reached a level of Shechina dwelled, nifsedu halakha, the pieces were lost, taken away. V'chutzach l'chazis v'erich ha'bayis v'nof v'sif ha'kol v'yaraim. Aval bayis sheni, shelo yubay gam echad kol elof noyim. You didn't have anything, not Shlomo built it, and not the Baal HaMelacha or Jews or anything. L'yishozo b'yishchin nof v'yaraim. Ke'om nom, first of all, bayis sheni l'hoi b'yishchin eidus. It did not have the luchos, or bayis sheni didn't have the luchos. So it belongs to eidus. V'loi puka kim al pi koirish. V'yashom ne levi. It was the king who the Koresh is the one who initiated the building, and after Levi. K'moyshayid Ezra ba'amro v'avino ba'amro v'kahanim. Levi le matzas yisham, v'nam is asking, v'vneinu yitzidayna v'tzurin k'vur v'sev ha'asim. So, Shlomo says something remarkable here. First of all, that the quality of something depends on who made it. So even though two people created physically the same entity, it says Beis HaMikdash was Hakol B'Ksav, everything had to be exactly the way it was written. You couldn't make any changes, but they had to be built to specs. But it depending on who built it, that was the longevity it had. That was how long it would stay. And the Svarna says that this was the reason why the Mishkan was the best, and the second, and the Mikdash was less, and the third one was least. First, so just, I guess, some sort of applications. Our perspective on things that are worthy are not only in terms of quantity, but in terms of longevity, meaning as follows. A person has ability to build an institution that will attract thousands of kids, for ruchnis, whatever it is. But a lot that goes into it is not so good. It's not built on very, very strong foundations. It's built on quite flimsy foundations. Mitzad the people that run it, mitzad the level of ruchnis and so on, versus a place that has very strong foundations, but people are kind of, but that's not very attractive. So everybody would say, okay, listen, you can't help it. I mean, this place is attracting hundreds and thousands of people and so on and so forth. Look at it. So the first point to consider is, okay, but how long will it last? It's true that this institution is booming, but it won't last long. It's like a bubble, which we saw, let's say, conservative movement, not comparing it, but just, I remember when it was presented as being able to attract the masses, and it was true, but it didn't last, it didn't endure, and simply because it was built on foundation that didn't exist, as far as we're concerned. But the level, what goes into something is really something that predicts its longevity, and therefore, Mr. Snefesh and Emes and the level of people involved is a big, big indicator how long it'll last. There's a second point about how long it'll last. So how long it'll last, we can translate it like 1,000 years times 10 people is better than 5,000 people for 1 year, just do the math. But it's deeper than that. The Svarna says it, he says Kedusha and Nitzchius go hand in hand. Nitzchius to us is a sign that whatever it is, we've touched on something that is eternal and belongs to a different set of values. Let's give an example. Imagine a doctor, let's say in medical research, we come up with something, with some health habit that seems to be working very well. But after a few years, it's not effective. So the answer, so we would evaluate as follows. It was a good thing, so eating X or doing Y was good because there happened to be a problem. Being there was such and such a disease going around, so this was an effective antidote to it. Once the disease is gone, it's meaningless. But let's say I touch on a core biological process, and this type of thing is something that is core to a person's health, then it's not going to go away because tachlis, the person is... we're talking about something that's essential to person. So when we create some sort of movement or some sort of ruchnistic enterprise, if it lasts for a while, a certain type of shul, a certain type of approach, if it was good for a while and then went on, then it's a sign that we haven't really touched core value. The item that it was an important item maybe, and it was important that be there, but we didn't get to the heart of something, or else it would not have disintegrated with time. That's the definition of it. Okay, let's see another piece of the Kuzari here. It says, "Vayah Moshe Shkolim Lachavina Asir Sechashiv Hashem Kein Asir Baruch Hashem Moshe," that they did it exactly the way they were told. There's no parsha in the Torah that has so many times that they did exactly what she said, that's how you should do exactly as Hashem said, good, as Hashem commanded, on and on and on and on and on. There was no room for artistic creativity. Amachava. Hallo, Martuch HaMiroish case. So he's responding to the Kuzari, who asked him about why we don't do this or that or whatever. So the Chavis says, La Matrimosh, I told you first at the beginning, He is Chakmus, Shikla Das, Asorba Torah, Einam Lichon Torah Lakai. There's no way that your understanding in itself will lead you to God's Ratzon. Kim Eina Dover Kane, because if that's not true, if it's what you think is right, I mean, Mamine Ashnias, the Christians, Mamine Kadmus Olam, the Aristotelians, Bali Muna Barosa Kochavim, the people who believe in astrology, Mamisbaidim Baharim, the people that meditate, Vasov Mdeim Beishakarma Heim, those who worship Moloch, Kula Mishal Gersokim, everyone's trying their best. In other words, if buying a gift for somebody gets you friendship without having in mind what the person wants, then any gift is good. So why isn't everybody close to God? You need to pick his mitzvah. So when you buy a gift for somebody, the feelings and thoughts are very important. Yes. So, but you need to make the effort to find out what the person likes. If the person is allergic to chocolate and you buy the person a fancy box of chocolates, not a terribly a good gift for that person. So it's something which you need to figure out what does God want. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly the amount, the times, and so on. It's only when you have all the pieces, all the ducks line up, that's when it works. It's a lema. We were told to do these things exactly they have to be done. Nothing in it made sense. I mean, there was nothing that instinctively we reached out to. And yet, and we were told very, very specifically what to do and how to do. So he says, so now he says over here, the shleimus that requires Ashuras Hashchina, which is ha'echad, k'atera bo mimalekai, Torah comes from God, v'sheni k'niskabel v'sholem es kol ha'ida. Let's go back to our mashal. Imagine a person wants to buy a gift for somebody and he wants to create a bond with the gift. So you look for two things. First of all, I want to do some research. What is it that you like and need? Obviously, it's like, if I'm not going to buy chocolates, I'm not going to buy chocolates. I'm not going to buy a golf set for somebody who doesn't care for sports. It's nonsense. So that's one. Two, if there's no feeling in the gift I give, I just say, okay, you know, today's anniversary, and I was told my chassan wasn't supposed to give a gift anniversary, so here's your anniversary gift, and let me check it off my list. I'm not going to get you all that far in terms of relationship. So relationship is, and this is the muscle, which is so good, the means, a gift that's supposed to engender relationship has a shell, a body, and it has a neshama to it. The shell and the body is what the recipient wants. It's tailor made to the recipient. The feelings that go into it are me. So the Mishkan started as a truma nidvas liboy, or like it's called toichi rotzuf ahava. So the Mishkan was the perfection of both. It required a kli that was built to the exact specification where God properly wants, and feelings that was me totally in it. And that's where there could be Ashuras Hashchina, because Ashuras Hashchina is the parallel of a neshama and a guf. So just like a guf is a means and a neshama dwells in it, the gift that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chitzonius creates a pnimius, and the pnimius is the nitva slave that creates an entity as Ashuras Hashchina. So the echad is Torah b'malikai, it's Torah exactly like Hashem wanted. V'asheni k'niskabel leiv sholem eskaida. K'ochin hukam ha'mishka mitzvah saloikai. U'maisa mishnasu v'tach sachritzis v'ratzon ikol hakol. So the Mishkan itself was done exactly as told, and it included itself the charitzas of Rosh Hashanah Chalakok, but Shneimam Eis Kedushas Ben Liboy Tikul Tumasi. Lachein Nischayev Tachlis Chiyuv Gam Shchein Ashchinu Meseichem Kva Shneimam Shchein Meseichem. And that's why that's why the Shchin dwelled, because it was automatic. I was creating a kli that would have a teichet. And he said, I gave you a mashal of animals and all living beings. So he says, take a look. I guess the problem or the point he's trying to make is as follows. We'll ask, isn't everything, what's the difference? God wants gold and silver and chelos. Okay, here. Why does that be exactly the kaftereh and prochel and kviyeh and so on? Here you have what you need. He said all animals have the same chemicals inside, but they have very different arrangements of those chemicals. And that makes all the difference. The amounts, the layout, and so on. Imagine just for a moment, let's say we have down here the pastry oven, which is very, very good bakery, and imagine somebody decides, they sell cakes for a lot of money, and maybe I can figure out how to make this stuff. So he goes to the garbage can, and he counts all the empty bags and boxes, and he makes a cheshbon that they use X amount of margarine, X amount of flour, X amount of sugar, and he puts it all a big mixer and bakes it. And then he puts a sign, compare the ingredients with a pastry oven. Yes, same ingredients, but I assure you it's not going to be like it. It's something which is how the things are laid out is very important. It's interesting that today in modern biochemistry, it used to be thought that it's the molecules that make the difference, just the molecules. Today we understand it's how they're folded. And their three-dimensional layout has a lot to do with how well they do. So he says the difference between the different materials is something in the tzurah. Emes adavikay seidus mekines min achayim lekavasapul if you minas achayim b'karav lasi yevushabahem. Yes, the chemicals maybe allow it to have certain properties. Lefizay yechad mem letomar v'sheinu legefen v'echad letzus v'sheinu aryeh. Ulam hamonis ein erich haneshayim. But the exact measure and pieces and all that. If we could do that, we could create anything we want. If you just took the ingredients, you could do whatever you want. As long as we could figure it out. Last paragraph. So you'll ask me, okay, but on the mashal I gave, people do create living things. You can create flies out of wine. It basically means if you let stuff rot, you create. That's the way I understood it then. They did not create it. They discovered it. They said, if you leave this around this way, this comes out. So it's there already, and they're simply observers, and they learn how to redo it. People found out that when men and women live together, you have children. That they didn't invent it. But to understand how much, so we can figure out how the process works and imitate it, but we don't understand it. So he's saying, just like we understand that, we don't understand the Mishkan. And the only place we can learn the amount and the measure is so injecting any of our so-called understandings into what the mission of the should look like, we couldn't do. That's one of the reasons why when the reform came out, they tried to change Sidrei Beis Knesses, and there was a tremendous pushback. One of them was simply they just saw the direction of it, and therefore they said, well, they don't care about the bima, they're going much further than that. But down deep, there's also certain nekuda that it's something that affects the very heart of the mikdash, and the kodesh has specifications, and part of our understanding that Shiras HaShechina requires what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is to stick to that. Okay.